Kelly Halliburton pulled into Tombstone in Clackamas, Oregon that afternoon in 2007 and spotted Fred Cole out trimming the grass. It had been around 6 months since Dead Moon had broken up, and he'd been expecting that Fred and his wife Tootie would just want to have a few beers and talk.
In my head, I was like, okay, we're going to go, you know, we're going to have a beer, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk, and, you know, kind of, I mean, I pulled up to Tombstone, and Fred was out with a weed whacker trimming the grass, and he saw me pull in with my truck, and he, like, shut the weed whacker, came up. There was no, like, hi or how's it going or anything. The first words he said when I rolled down the window was, okay, so Tootie's got the drum set up upstairs, and I'll be up in just a second. And I was like, holy shit, really? What? Yeah, I mean, the last thing in the world that I thought we were going to do was actually play.
Halliburton was no stranger to Fred Cole, who had founded what seemed like a zillion bands by then. Even when Halliburton was just a kid, Fred was a presence. His figure hovered on a flyer on his family's fridge from a show featuring Fred's 60s band, The Torpedoes. And Halliburton's dad sometimes alluded to the prolific songwriter in tales of playing with Fred in a short-lived 70s band called Albatross. After stumbling into Portland with the Weeds in 1966, Fred became a serial founder of bands, going heavy with Zipper in the mid-70s, blending the speed of punk with the jangly 60s garage he came up with in acts like the Rats in the early 80s, and other times adding some twang in Western Front and the Range Rats. Fred Cole died November 9th, 2017, in his home in Clackamas. Whether it really was the largest gathering at Portland City Hall ever that wasn't a protest, we may never know. But 1,100 punk rockers came out to honor Dead Moon in October 2017, just a month before Fred passed away. In preparation for the event, several fellow local musicians and friends of Dead Moon were interviewed about the band, its unbreakable bond with Portland, and the spirit of the music and fiercely DIY ethos of Dead Moon that lives on. This story is based on those interviews. Along with Tootie, the lifelong mate he'd met soon after arriving in the once sleepy logging town, the two fostered a communal energy sparked by their entrepreneurial and welcoming natures. The musical equipment store they ran downtown in the Deacom Building, Captain Whiz Eagle, was more than just a music shop. It was a hangout, a public space, like a central turbine generating a DIY spirit that electrified many younger musicians in Portland's burgeoning punk scene.
There's so many musicians in Portland, like old musicians who got their first guitar by going in there. There's like hundreds of them.
Poison Idea vocalist Jerry A.
You know, we would never been a band. Honestly, I probably got electrocuted, you know, singing through my stereo or something, you know? And he actually gave us a real PA.
Along with the music store and its notoriously liberal credit policy, Fred and Tootie founded record labels that became known as places where anybody could get a record made. The couple had already established a reputation of dedication to DIY during their days homesteading in Alaska, and later building the family's home in Clackamas. So it didn't take long after they'd launched their Tombstone label in 1988 for apocryphal tales to emerge about Fred and Tootie literally pressing the vinyl themselves.
Oh, Fred and Tootie, you know, they'll put out anybody's record on Tombstone. That was kind of the word on the street back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Kelly Halliburton.
We thought, okay, if you get a record pressed on Tombstone, Fred and Tootie actually make it. And that's how you can order like 100 copies or something.
Brokers or not, the legend grew. And with it, Portland's backwater punk scene. But by the mid-80s, Fred Cole still hadn't found the right formula for a band that could really take off. Weedon Cole, son of Fred and Tootie.
And my dad got just burned out and just pissed off at rock and roll because he wasn't making any headway, and he was writing great stuff. Now, we're talking about a guy who's probably written about 5,000 songs in his lifetime. Now, I remember him showing me all these yellow notepads in boxes, stuff that never even made it to the guitar.
Halliburton.
Fred's interactions with other people booking shows or putting out records always, you know, he's a very impatient person, and he felt like people were either taking advantage of him or not doing it the way he would like it to be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's been the central element of his character that defined his interaction with everybody and his entire, like, output as a musician and as a contributor to the Portland culture.
Something clicked in the mid-80s when Fred met drummer Andrew Loomis. Weedon Cole remembers his father raving about the young percussionist.
Andrew, who was playing drums in the Boy Wonders at the time, and he was like, you know, I got a great idea for this band. We're going to do rock and roll again, and I've seen this kid play. He's just full of energy and on, it's going to be a killer lineup, okay?
Actually, Fred and Tootie already had auditioned Loomis for their honky-tonk act, the Range Rats, but eventually settled on a drum machine for that band, with middling results.
Andrew 100% wanted to be a rock and roll star.
Neva Knott, co-founder of Plasm Magazine, and a longtime friend and later girlfriend of Loomis.
He wasn't seeking stardom, but he wanted to live the rock and roll life. And he was willing to be poor. He was willing to be on the road. He had that singular focus that it takes for people to make it as artists.
Knott took on the role of caretaker to Loomis before he succumbed to cancer in 2016. But it was in 1987, right around the time that the Range Rats were playing and that Tombstone Records was kicked off, that Fred, Tootie, and Loomis finally gravitated toward the collaboration they were destined to form, Dead Moon. Knowing the collective sound of the music Fred Cole had put out over the years, it wasn't difficult to recognize in Dead Moon the same raw connective tissue of blues-based angst and a preoccupation with life's dark underbelly. But some noticed something unique about this new band, even early on. Whether or not it was obviously evident in the components of the music itself. And it was more than just Loomis's distinctive percussion. not.
Something was different from the beginning about Dead Moon. They were bigger, and we kind of just knew they were bigger, and it was the chemistry between the three people.
The fact that Loomis and his drum kit always were positioned right up front between Fred and Tootie during their live shows, rather than in the classic behind-the-band drum position, the band's onstage huddle before they played. These tangible symbols made it clear these people weren't just together in the hopes of making it big. Not.
Andrew would still talk about that even recently, like right before he passed. He would say, we stayed together so long because that's what makes a band. It's the way the people get along. And he would also say it's really hard to be in a band with married people.
There was a full harvest moon above the evening of October 5th, 2017, as the inseparable couple peered up to a stage outside Portland City Hall. This was Dead Moon Night, the city's official commemoration of the legendary band. This wasn't a dry City Hall meeting or keys to the city ceremony. This was a live punk rock party outside City Hall in honor of Dead Moon, accompanied by an official proclamation read by Portland City Commissioner and champion of renters' rights, Chloe Udaly, deeming October 5th, from then on, to be marked Dead Moon Night on the city's calendar. Months in the making, Dead Moon Night drew 1,100 fans of the band out to 1221 Southwest 4th Ave to witness an impressive lineup of Portland musicians covering Dead Moon songs, including punk veterans Jerry A. and Charlie Nims of Poison Idea, Chris Newman of Napalm Beach, Sam Henry of The Wipers, and Sean Krogan of Cracker Bash, along with folk hero Michael Hurley, Americana guitarist Marissa Anderson, local soul sensation Earl Thomas, and others. A candle dripped gradually over the neck of a Jack Daniels bottle throughout the City Hall show, just like so many that had burned on stage when Dead Moon played over the years. It was fitting that Dead Moon Night took place during a full harvest moon because, as it turns out, it was just such a moon that inspired the band's name. Weed and Coal paints the picture.
Fred and Tootie are driving back from Nevada one night in the summer of 87, and it's just like big blood red harvest moon hanging low in the sky, and they just keep remarking about this moon. He goes, God, he goes, this moon is just killing me. It's just so incredible. He goes, and he's trying to think of his band name. They have no band name. He goes, what about a red moon? And my mom goes, no, that's lame. He goes, what about blood moon? He goes, no, that's even worse. He goes, well, God, it just looks so dead. Mm-hmm. He goes, that's it, Dead Moon. And that's how they came up with that name.
When Knott was up on stage telling stories during the Dead Moon Night event, She explained to the crowd why she wasn't wearing a Dead Moon shirt that night. Instead, she had chosen to wear one featuring the logo of the Vera Club, the venue in Groningen, the Netherlands, where Dead Moon played their first show ever in Europe. It was also the last place Dead Moon played in 2006, before disbanding. It wasn't just like some band broke up when Dead Moon called it quits. It felt like the end of an era, the demise of something that encapsulated the underdog DIY spirit of Portland to a lot of people. So it's not surprising that when Tootie called Kelly Halliburton that day, months after the band had split, not only was he shocked, he couldn't fathom how people in the scene would react to him picking up a set of sticks to play with Fred and Tootie. Halliburton.
My first thought was like, fuck, I can't play drums. My second thought was, how is that going to go over with Andrew? How is it going to go over with everyone who can't imagine anyone except Andrew playing drums with them?
After Halliburton, a bassist by trade, had started playing drums with Fred and Tootie in the new band Pierced Arrows, he spotted Loomis at an old Portland bar on Southeast 28th Ave.
I remember the first time I saw him after I started playing with Fred and Tootie, and it was at Holman's, and he walked in, and the person I was with was like, uh-oh. I went up to the bar, and I was like, hey, how's it going? He was like, hey, you know, just like always. He was like, hey, how are you, you know, give me a hug or something.
Loomis often referred to Fred and Tootie as mom and dad or the grandparents, but he was not alone in that. A lot of younger musicians in town looked up to them.
If I needed advice, it would be easier for me to go ask Fred for advice back then after a show than it would be for me to call my dad.
Eli Johnson, bassist in the 90s band Heavy Johnson Trio, and an owner of Portland's Dots Cafe and Atlas Pizza.
Knowing something about Fred and how he approached life and did things his own way always made me feel like I should figure it out myself, do the right thing, whatever makes sense, and just do it, just deal with it, and live with the repercussions.
Some old Portland rockers still remember the night they found out Dead Moon broke up, like people remember where they were when Kennedy was shot. The band had recently returned home from Europe and were booked to play a show at Dante's on West Burnside, the club that had become a spot for homegrown punk and touring bands since venues like Satyricon and EJ's had shuttered their doors. Neva Knott.
They'd go to Europe and then they'd come back and they'd be a bigger fish in the pond. And in that way, they were putting Portland on the map because no matter what, they were a Portland band.
I remember, you know, telling people in the late 80s and stuff, just, you know, around the States, how great Dead Moon was. And people just looked at me like, what? Like, I think there was a fashion thing that they weren't it of the time. They're one of those bands that they had to get popular in Europe first.
Mudhoney guitarist Steve Turner first started going to Dead Moon shows in the late 80s with Mudhoney's screecher Mark Arm.
Especially in Seattle, like they did not have very big shows until they got huge in Europe. And then people started showing up for Dead Moon. It's like one of those weird, like, what? This has to be resold to you?
And that was a real thing. Dead Moon were putting Portland on the map, so to speak. People in Europe and places like Australia, the band's growing cult followers, equated the band with the city. To a select group of underground punk rock aficionados, Fred, Tootie, and Andrew were ambassadors of Portland, way before the stars of any parody sketch comedy show could become its celebrity face. As Mississippi Records, the Portland record emporium and label behind several Dead Moon catalog reissues, once put it on a bumper sticker, "Fred and Tootie, not Fred and Carrie." Former Poison Idea bassist Charlie Nims.
To a lot of people, Dead Moon is Portland.
Nims also played in a band called The Hell Candidates with Andrew Loomis. It was more than the music, more than Dead Moon's skull and moon logo or the presence of a candle in a Jack Daniels bottle slowly burning on stage. As the official Dead Moon Night Portland City Hall proclamation notes, "Dead Moon is more than just a band. It is a whole greater than the sum of its parts in ethos and identity for an international tribe."
They're never going to have that widespread appeal because that's not who they are and that's not what they are, okay? But the people that do love them to death, okay? Mm-hmm. It's just magnificent. And they would rather be loved fiercely by even just 100 people, then moderately liked by the masses, okay, or appreciated by the masses, and whatever. They would, for them, quality over quantity, intensity over apathy.